many ways to tell a story. You can write it, you can film it, or like Dorothy just did, you can tell it on the radio. But perhaps the most creative and captivating way, especially for the young at heart, is to have it drawn and brought to life through animation. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, and in Kelowna, business is booming. Our arts columnist Jillian Richards went to a local animation studio called Yeti Farm Creative to learn more, and she's here to give us a frame-by-frame of what she saw. Good morning, Jillian.
Good morning, Chris.
So what do they do over at the Yeti Farm?
Oh, it is such a cool space. It's totally what you would imagine an animation studio to look like. So dozens of young, you know, talented, creative types working in this huge open concept space filled with art, most of it theirs. And they have a whole bunch of projects that they work on. Everything from original content, they have a series of animated nursery rhymes called Sweet Tweets, to a show about disenfranchised youth called Knobs. And they also do contract and service work where they would partner with other companies to make shows like Max and Ruby. You probably know Max and Ruby, right?
You'll be
a young one at home.
Yeah, I don't know that one. There you go. There's bound to be gaps in my animation knowledge. So what did you do while you were there, Jillian?
Well, so I hung out with one of their top animators. His name is Harley Knife, and he sat me down and showed me sort of the ins and outs of what he does. So, for example, when I got there, he'd been working all morning on a scene for Max and Ruby, and after about like 4 hours of work, the total amount, you know, completed was about 4 seconds of animation.
So a time-consuming to create animation, or at least it used to be. Isn't it mostly done by computers these days?
Well, I can give you a 60-second history of animation if you'd like.
As long as it's animated.
So in the beginning, they were cave drawings and people had to run by them really fast to look like it was moving. Fast forward like a couple thousand years and we have these little, people were interested in making pictures move and different ways that they could do that. So before film, they made these little hand-spun machines with drawings on them called phenakistoscopes, and those evolved into zoetropes, which maybe you've seen like at science centers and before. It's like a carousel that you look through a cylinder that you could hold in your hands and you spin it and it has little slits on the sides.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of like the same idea as a flip book, basically.
Exactly. There's all sorts of... They went from the flip book to wanting to create different mechanical ways to make pictures move. And of course, then we got into film. And one of the first recorded cartoons was in 1906. And it was just a bunch of chalk drawing faces on a blackboard that were filmed frame by frame into this short called The Humorous Phases of Funny Faces.
Huh. And so that's 1906. What happened next?
Well, so people were still going crazy for it. Like, there was a huge demand to see cartoons, more cartoons made. And that caught the attention of these two guys, brothers named Walt and Roy. And they thought, well, we'll found ourselves a little animation studio in 1923.
Right. Roy and Walt Disney.
Yes. And they were really the pioneers of the whole industry for years and years to come. And we've never looked back. Animation went from hand-drawn and then using different things like moving cutouts and pictures and creative ways to attempt it, to computer-assisted. And then, of course, Pixar came on the scene in the 90s with the release of Toy Story, sort of the first full-length CGI or computer-generated animation. And now that that's mainstream, you see a mixture of sort of everything in different forms out there. And most studios, like Yeti, will work with a combination of all sorts of different techniques. So for my visit, I really wanted to get a feel for what it was like for Harley to work in the field of animation.
There's probably art class in 100 Mile House. I used to live there. There's something about art that I was always drawn to. And actually had this one teacher who I would draw cartoons all the time. And this teacher said, you're never going to make it in life if you're just drawing cartoons. So that from that day, I told myself, I'm going to draw. I'm just going to keep drawing. And if something's got to happen, right? So I eventually made it to Vernon and then got in really close with the art teacher there. I think her name is Shelley Thompson. She just kind of mentored me and explained that art should just be something that you do and love and not something that you are told you're not supposed to do, kind of thing.
So he went on to come to Kelowna, graduate from Cato, and then to Yeti straight after that. And he taught me about some of the animation basics. Like, so for any given project, there's a number of different roles. People work, you know, on the animations together in groups. And there's one thing called key posing, which is creating poses for a character that they'll sort of start out in, and then an animator will get them to move to the next space. So it's a real sort of collaboration. And if you can imagine in the movement, like, say, a little rabbit picking up a cup, in order for them to do that, it takes about 12 frames or images per second of actual movement on the screen. So there's a lot of work involved. And in order to make a character talk and move in a lifelike fashion, an artist will use what are called the basics of animation, sort of the basic principles, which include terms like the squash and stretch, anticipation, secondary action, exaggeration, and so on.
And some people maybe who are involved in theater will recognize some of that, those terms, because of course you can't just make a character walk, you have to get them ready to walk.
Exactly,
right?
Right. Weight distribution and the movement of the hair. And there's so many small details, and it's there's a ton of patience involved. But when I listened to Harley talk about it, the reward seems so huge. Like for him, it's one thing to draw a picture, but it's a whole other thing to see it come to life. And you can feel that. The atmosphere and the culture around Yeti is electric. You can tell everyone wants to be there, and they're all doing this job that's super hard but is so fun.
Started out key posing, and we'd have like lunch viewings of like the episode that we worked on like weeks later, and you see your key poses that people have animated, and it's out there for the masses, and hopefully my nieces and nephews see it, and they enjoy what they see, and hopefully it inspires like the next generation coming up to like want to do it, because I saw it and I was inspired by it, and just knowing that, you just get the biggest smile on your face, and you look at your other coworkers, and hopefully they feel the same, because they're looking at you with the same dumb smile.
See, how often do you and Alia finish a show and look at each other with big dumb smiles?
I feel like a big dumb smile is my default expression.
Maybe you should also be an animator. The other cool thing about animation is that I think, you know, it's a really good choice for artists who want to do what they love and also make a decent living. So Todd Ramsey founded Yeti Farms in 2007 with his wife, Ashley, and they started out with like 5 employees in this little office space, and now they have like 7,000 square feet of office space with over 60 people working there. And for Todd, you know, he's an artist and an animator, but he's also built an empire on doing what he loves and finding a way to make a business out of it.
Animation to me is just a way to work in a creative industry, and originally it was a way to have a paycheck. You know, I took fine arts, and after 4 years of fine arts, I thought, what am I going to do? I love art, you know, I love painting, I love the whole aspect around it, but I just wanted to have that regular paycheck. And then, you know, I always loved cartoons growing up, and I liked that style of art as well, like more cartoony type stuff. And I thought, you know what, originally I wanted to get into design, and then I discovered animation through my first year at Vancouver Film School, and just fell in love with it, fell in love with the movement and the timing of it, and how I could actually create stories and utilize animation as a medium to create my own short films.
And Jillian, it seems to be a medium that's consistently in demand. Why do you think it's so popular?
Well, for viewers, when we watch animation, in some ways I think it's easier to get absorbed into that world because we drop the filters we use in real life. We judge cartoons less than real people or the actors that play them, right? So when we judge less, there's more room to feel delight or to become absorbed in what we're watching. And I think for kids, animated stories feel more safe. Like they can explore things like identity and feelings without even knowing that they are, and also in a world that is far less threatening. And, you know, in a time when there seems to be fear and stories of fear everywhere, that's a really good thing.
And we heard a bit from Todd, but the attraction for animators?
Well, they get to be the people who create these worlds. So that's pretty powerful. Plus, they don't have to hire actors or build a movie set to tell their stories. You know, they can just draw it. They can take whatever strange and wonderful idea that they have, and immediately they have the tools to bring that to life. So Harley has a great story that he's working on right now.
So basically I have this idea of a family of toes. I think a foot is going to come in and then these toes are going to pop off. And it's just a family of toes living life. And there's going to be like the weird toes that are like across the street, and they're going to have like toe jam and stuff like that. And they're going to be weird and scruffy looking. Halfway through the season, one of the toes goes missing. So like the whole time you're like, where did this other toe go? And then by the end of it, the toe will come back and it'll be all like weathered and... That makes sense.
Totally.
That'd be the name of the show.
Totally.
See, what if going to work meant you got to draw the adventure of a toe all day? That sounds pretty good to me. So, you know, and even for Todd,
he
doesn't
get to be
in this industry
anymore,
but it's his passion. So he gets to make a difference. He has fun, and he gets to have a say in the quality of stories that are out there.
I just want to create. You know, it's day to day. I just feel so energized to wake up in the morning and go to work and have a creative job, something I can contribute to a production. But I guess at the end of the day, I just want to make my own show and have a team that has kind of grown with our company work on that show and contribute to it and just have a successful show worldwide that was